Blog Talk Radio.
Been running, is my mind playing tricks on me? Is she one up on me? If I had to testify, I could only say she's the truth. It's like prayers went up and sent me you. Now I wasn't looking, I was fine on my own. Could come and go as I please, nobody questioning me. I don't know when things began to change. You came and turned it all around, got me saying amen. From the bed to the stove, from the church to the job, best thing I got me saying amen. Girl, you're looking good, you keep that cooking good, best thing for sure. Your love's not settling, settling on me. Like a kid in a blanket, made it hard for me to leave. And you gave me new love, the kind I've never ever seen. And I'm eternally thankful. Got me saying amen. From the bed to the stove, from the church to the job, best thing I got me saying amen. Girl, you're looking good, you keep that cooking good, best thing for sure. Got me saying amen. From the bed to the stove, from the church to the job, best thing I got me saying amen. Girl, you're looking good, you keep that cooking good, best thing for sure.
It's hard for me to picture, I'll be right here with you, look what I've been missing. You turned it all around, look what I've done now, back in my own business.
And if I knew then what I know right now, I would have settled down a long time.
Yeah.
From the church to the job, best thing I know.
Got me saying amen.
Girl, you're looking good, you keep that cooking good, best thing for sure.
Got me saying amen.
From the bed to the stove, from the church to the job, best thing I know.
Got me saying amen.
Girl, you're looking good, you keep that cooking good, best thing for sure.
It's hard for me to picture, I've been right here with you, look what I've been missing,
and look what I've been missing.
You turned it all around, look what I've done now, back in my own business.
And if I knew then what I know right now, I would have settled down a long time.
Mind. That's outstanding. Just saying amen. It's good to be back with you on Hump Day. This is Wednesday, Talking Sports Plus. And I am the host, Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith. And I'm so excited about being here again. We had our earliest show we always have. It's a preview show where I host and kind of share some thoughts with everybody from the beginning on Facebook, Instagram, Anchors Podcast. And I have quite a few people who's joining me, and I'm hoping they'll do the same at this 8 o'clock hour. All right, the call-in number to make sure you play a part in the show if you just want to listen to the show or want to share your thoughts is 347-857-4192. And you can call in. If you want to go to the web link, that's www.blogtalkradio.ldsmithproduction. But we also are making a little change where we're going to have our production company is titled the Smith Way Production Company, and I'll be producing the show from this point on, but tonight we're going with L.D. Smith. Even if you saw it on the Smith Way and you're able to get to it, do go at it. We want you to do what you have to do just to be a part of our show tonight. Now, we got a very exciting show tonight, and one of the reasons we ask you to just take time to listen to Talking Sports Plus, because we are the voice of the historical black colleges and universities and high schools and middle schools in the southeastern part of the United States. We share all topics, all the hottest topics. So we're so ecstatic about having an opportunity to be before you again. Now, we can email the show. If you want to email the show, it's talkingsportsplus@gmail.com or tweet the show at talkingsportsplus with the number one at L.D. Smith or Lois D. Smith at Elliott, ELLIOTDARYL with the number one. That's Daryl Elliott at Tremaine Edwards, and that's TREMAINEEDWARD with the number seven. And our Millennium Mother Show, that's at Coach_L_Smith. So those are the ways you can contact us if you just want to talk to some of us directly. That'll be fine. You can go to our Twitter account, and you can just kind of share your thoughts through the tweeting us or tweeting the show or email the show or just simply call in because we'd like to see you on the line sharing your thoughts. All right, before I introduce the co-hosts that are here, there's one, I have one of them that's here. You know, I know he says sometimes just we go solo so much so we feel so good, but we have other people joining in. I want us to offer our prayers, a moment of silence, for those 11 victims that was killed in the Pittsburgh synagogue on Monday. Our prayers are to the family, prayers are to the community, and to the church. And I just want to take about a moment of silence just to, you know, offer our thoughts and prayers in a moment of silence. All right, we want those victims to the families of the victims know that we care about them and talking in Sports Plus, so we're very excited about having the opportunity just to share our thoughts and our prayers and our moment of silence with them. All right, let me introduce my co-host that is joining me at this time, and I know the others are going to be joining me unless they send me a text. You know, sometimes I get so busy, I don't get a chance to look at their text and see what they're saying. I know a particular one was going to be in Birmingham, but he said he's going to do his best to try to share his thoughts and be a part of this as well. But if not, he still wanted us to be positive, move on, make things happen. And essence, what he said, we'll make it do what it do. So we're so excited about having the opportunity to come before you. All right, this young man, he hails from South Alabama, right off the Florida Gulf Coast. From Dothan to Op, from Op to Montgomery, and from Montgomery over to Troy, better known as the Don King of Entertainment, and some people call him the E-Train Man. None others in our culture of the airways, Daryl E-Train Elliott. How you doing, Daryl?
Hey, Coach. It's good to be with you tonight. Yeah, I'm hoping Tremaine gets on the show tonight. I got to give him his kudos. But anyway, let's get down to talking sports.
Exactly. Thank you, Daryl, for joining us. And I want him on the show because, you know, he's officially got to be crowned officially tonight. Okay, Daryl, we got to crown him officially tonight. Okay, we've been talking, but we got to crown him. All right. We want to make sure we crown him tonight. So, Tremaine, the other three hosts that are not with me at this time, but I just got a text from one of them saying, you know, they're leaving Birmingham now and they'll do their best to try to at least try to call in while they're on the road and share their thoughts through that. And that's Touchdown Tony. That's Coach Tony Stallworth. So he's making his effort out of Birmingham to get in a position so he can share his thoughts on the show. The other two hosts, and as Daryl said, we want to make sure the King is on tonight. And the King, I know he was delivering the trophy, because I think the trophy, when they win the city in football, rotates from school to school. So I know he was on Facebook saying he was delivering the trophy to that school that won the championship in middle school football. So hopefully he'll join us in a few minutes. And that young man hails from Huntsville, Alabama, known as better known to everybody as the slogan said, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun, none other than Coach Tremaine Edwards. And when he come on, he'll share his thoughts and he'll tell you hello. And last but not least, our millennial of the show, our young lady who's still going through rehab. She posted today, and I tried to put it on my timeline. She got a new brace now, and they're putting her through a little different kind of exercise and rehab. And that's our millennial, our lady of the hour, and that's Coach Lauren D. Smith. There, let's get this thing started because those individuals, they join us. They'll join us in a little bit, and we'll go from there. We want to first let everybody know the title of the show, and it's Today's Football Still Exciting or Boring? With all the things that are going on in football, and we're going to talk about those things tonight, is it exciting or boring? But we're going to start off something that topic that was quite exciting. And last week, we were just getting prediction on it. We was excited to see it. And it was the 77th Magic City Classic between Alabama State University and Alabama A&M. We want to kind of talk some of the results, talk about some things that there you heard in regards to it. And I know I was there, so I can share some things as well. We'll talk about the pageantry, and we'll just go from there. So there, you want to start off with talking about the 77th McDonald Magic City Classic. Share your thoughts on that.
Yep. Yeah, it was no Ronald McDonald about it. Thank you, McDonald's for sponsoring. Tailgating always a big event, night after night. You know, the city lights up for this thing, and the community come together. And I'm so glad, number one, that there wasn't any tragedies. And, you know, it's fun to say that because, you know, instantly things could go wrong, you know. But I'm glad there weren't any tragedies to speak of, at least none that I heard about. You know, the game was quite phenomenal. I was just blown away at the fact that A&M stood their ground and A&M pulled this off. And, you know, even though I lost, you know, thousands of dollars on this game, the reality is that Tremaine told me in a side conversation before we got on the show, he said, Daryl, do not bet against A&M. Don't listen to Tony Stallworth. Not on this one. And I listened to Tony Stallworth. Well, it just didn't pan out for me. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Well, Daryl, you're right. I tell you, it didn't pan out for a lot of us. I can tell you now, from my point of view, I thought that that would be a lot of excitement because here ASU going in this game, all they have to do is win this ball game, and they would kind of leapfrog Alcorn and be in first place and be where they could just continue to win the rest of their games and they could be in the championship game. We're going to talk about some changes that occurred with the championship game also today. But let me kind of share my thoughts in regards to what I saw. The pageantry was there. Tailgating was off the chain. Everywhere you looked, you saw RVs. First of all, before I get to saying, the weather was beautiful. It was football weather. I thought it was going to be a really cold day, and it could get cold up in Legion Field. I didn't say just in Birmingham, but in Legion Field. But it turned out to be a real good day at the point where the sun was shining on us.
We actually had an opportunity to actually get warm
and just enjoy the game. However, as I look at
exactly what transpired up there, I was a lot disappointed. I was so disappointed about what happened because I really thought that they would take that 2 weeks off and go play that game like it needs to be played. But apparently there was some situations going on that we was not aware of. And those situations they was not ready to play. They was not ready to play that game. And I watched the game there, and I was really disappointed because, you know, it looked more like a game you may be more familiar with. Last year when they played Tuskegee, They was down there inside the 5-yard line, inside the red zone about 2 or 3 times, if you can remember that. And they didn't score. Then from that point on, it seemed like they just lost all the fight to me to just go down there because they had other opportunities to score. I'm giving you a recap of what I saw, listeners, and looked like after they didn't score, they missed the field goal on the second opportunity they was down there. They came down, A&M scored, and they scored, and they had a real chance to go ahead in the game. And they seemed that every time they got into the red zone, at least 4 more times, they come out with only 3 points. And that was so surprising. And I just knew they could not hold off. They could not hold off A&M very long. I just knew they couldn't hold out. So the bottom line is, it ended up being a situation where A&M kind of got it clicking. And when they got it clicking, they seemed to make it happen. And they had a long run for a touchdown. The running back broke one through the middle, went through the middle, went by 60-something yards. Then they had a pass thrown, a long distance that they scored on. And then late in the game, they scored to put the icing on the cake to make it 27-10. So it was one of those games I was really, really disappointed. I thought he should have played well, and I think the coach said it tonight. He was disappointed because we had that week off, and having that week off, we sort of didn't play up the part. That's what Coach Ely said. They just didn't play up the part. So that's kind of how I saw the ball game, but you still had the pageantry. It was a beautiful day. The game started at 2:30, and when we walked out of the stadium, it was still daylight. So that means that it was not a game that went far, deep into the time of the day where the temperature would really drop. It was still daylight, so it was really exciting. So it was a great opportunity for that 77 Magic City Classic, but the results was nothing like we thought. The King made his prediction. He said it was going to be a really runaway-type situation, and the King said it would be his prediction was 31-10, and he was close to the prediction. And it looked like that late in the game that ASU just kind of packed the bags and said it was time to go home, and that was the result. Anything else you want to share on that, Darryl?
Yeah, I'm going to need to get a loan for the long shot come to see me. I'm in bad shape. But let me tell you, man, you couldn't have gave a better recap than that. It's just like Alabama State just laid down. It's like when they got to the red zone, it's like, okay, this is it. This is as far as we can go. And they could never pull something out to get any closer to that final line to cross for a touchdown. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know if A&M just had their defense stood up. And, you know, it's hard once you get down the 20-yard line to go any further unless you have a way of getting there, you know, and maybe the defense was just better than they thought. I don't know, but what you say, I can see that. They just like, you know, just threw in the towel, man. Every time they got to the red zone, everything they tried was just foiled and settled for 3. And it's, I don't know, Coach. At the end of the day, all I can say is, you know, maybe now when they look back on this film, they can say, okay, you know, we got to fix this problem, you know. And maybe they can fix this problem when they go back and they can look at this film. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Now, you're right. And there, I tell you, I see a few problems. You know, I thought the quarterback, and there was some news that came out that he had just found out before the start of the game that his grandmother had passed, and they didn't want to tell him. But they went on, finally told him, and some people kind of say that was some of the issue with him. But I thought he played a fairly decent ball game. I thought he completed some major passes. I thought he made a decision, a good decision down there inside the 10-yard line. And I think it was 3rd and 5, and he could get a first down on like the 3-yard line. He made a run. The only decision and the only problem I had with him there, he decided to – go in there and try to spin between two linebackers. And the result was that he took a big shot and he fumbled the ball down on the 1 yard line. That would have been that point when the game was 14-7, and Alabama State had a chance to tie the game up then. So that was major because after that point, it let them drove 90-some yards. It let them drove out of there and drove all the way down and scored and kind of really put the game out of reach at that time. So we just think that they still can work hard. I don't think they're totally out of it, but I don't see Alcorn losing another game because Alcorn is 6-1. They're only playing 8 games. Alcorn got one more game that they have to play. If they win this next game, automatically they'll be in the championship game. Now, let me just kind of share some thoughts that I heard today on the news with the championship game. You know, the championship game was coming. All the SWAC championship game was coming back to Birmingham. However, due to UAB having such a successful year, and if they win, UAB win their conference, Sun Belt, if not mistaken, they would host their championship game at Legion Field. So instead of dealing with all the changes, SWAC conference have decided to allow the conference game to go to the team that have the best record that's in the championship game. That's their thinking. So that means if Alcorn has the best record, and it will go to Alcorn. If Southern or Grambling have the best record, it'll go to Baton Rouge. So, you know, we was thinking that was a good move bringing it back to Birmingham, but because of that situation with UAB, it was unfortunate enough not to be able to play the game up there because UAB looked like it's going to win its conference. And by winning this conference, they have the winner host will be hosted up in Birmingham. The game will be hosted in Birmingham. So we'll kind of keep an eye out for what's going to happen with that and who's going to be the winner of each one of those divisions. Now, we have some things going on in regards to there. We're going to kind of run off some of the standings in the SWAC as well as the just share some thoughts about the SWAC. Because we're talking about the SWAC, we want to make sure we can share all our thoughts about it. In the eastern part of the SWAC division, you have Alcorn State, Braves with a record of 6-1, 7-2 overall. In second place, they have Alabama A&M, which is 3-2 and 4-4 overall. In third place, you have Jackson State, who has a record of 2-2, 3-4 overall. Alabama State is 1-2 and 2-5 overall. In the West, you have Southern University. It's a 4-1 conference record and a 5-3 overall. So if it stay like it is and Alcorn keep on winning, they'll be hosting the tournament. So they'll be going down there to Lorimer, Mississippi. Grambling in second place, 3-2 with a 4-4 record. Prairie View with a 2-2 and 3-5. So that's how the SWAC look. So we're looking forward for what's going to be happening in the next few weeks. We want to make sure everybody join us. Now this weekend we have an outstanding schedule for the SWAC. You have Texas Southern at Alabama State, which is Connection Day. Share your thoughts about Connection Day with other people. If students are interested in coming, make sure they get on there and make reservations and come and watch a game that starts at 2 o'clock at Alabama State University Stadium, the Hornet Stadium. And that's going to be Texas Southern, who's 2-6, 1-4 in the SWAC, against Alabama State, 2-5, 1-2 in the SWAC. We have Mississippi Valley at Grambling. Grambling is 3-2, need a win so they can stay in the race with Southern. Then we also have Prairie View at Jackson State. So that's going to determine a whole lot because Alabama State got Jackson State coming up next. And then you have Alabama A&M at Arkansas Pine Bluff. So those are the things that's happening in the SWAC. We have 7 games in the MEAC as well. And I'm going to kind of share some thoughts on those. You got Florida A&M versus Howard. And Florida A&M is 5-0 in the conference. They're leading the conference. That's going to be a big ball game on Saturday at 12 o'clock. Then you have Norfolk State versus North Carolina A&T. North Carolina A&T is 3-1. And then you have Savannah State versus Delaware State. in both of those, 1-3 and 1-4, Bethune-Cookman versus Morgan State, and that's 1-3 for Morgan State, 2-2 for the Bethune-Cookman. So those are the games being played in the MEAC. So go and support your team. We want to look at the SIAC. You have Auburn State leading that conference 5-0 with Morehouse second at 3-2. That's the eastern part of the SIAC, which is Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference East. And the SIAC West, you have Tuskegee 4-2 leading the conference in the West, and Central State 3-2. So those are some of the things that are happening in the the SIAC. Then you also have the CIAA, which is Bowie State leading them as well of the North. And you also have Virginia Union in second place. Then you have Fayetteville State over there in the Southern Division leading at 6-0. And you have Shaw Bears at 3-2. So those are the teams and the historical black colleges and universities. And those are the things that are happening. And we want to make sure you support your school. Go out and support your team. And we'll kind of see what's going to happen this weekend so we can talk some more about the SWAC. Anything else you want to share about your thoughts? Yes, sir.
Hey, listen, so tell me again when it's ASU Connection Day.
It is Saturday. This Saturday, November the 3rd, at 2 o'clock, and that's Texas Southern versus Alabama State University.
Okay, so on Connection Day, that's when, you know, you're trying to get high school students to come over. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And, you know, every year they have Connection Day at Alabama State University, and I'm sure they have Connection Day at other HBCUs. But I don't think they do a good job of reaching out to the teens. I think they could do a better job if they invested in media with this. And mm-hmm. you know, we talked last year, Dr. Smith, about that university having a connection with the community. And to me, it's mm-hmm. always a false connection because I don't think they do a good job of reaching out and actually getting into the high schools, sending counselors out, sending people out, sending invites out, having other things on the campus for the entire city to join in. I think we could do a lot better as a university if we did more things in the community. And that's why I wanted you to give me that date again, just so I know, because, you know, I'm also working in Montgomery on 94.1, the radio station. I certainly want to talk about Connection Day for Alabama State University. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
That's awesome. And we want you to share those thoughts. And, you know, we look forward to them having an excellent, and they tried to do their best, and I think they work hard to try to get it out. They publicized it. I think the President Ross wants to be a community university, so he wants the community involved. But yes, they have to extend the hand of the olive palm out to more individuals. But before I go any further down, we want to crown this young man because he's on the line. We're going to make sure he's getting a great introduction. Your man, none other than man from Huntsville, Alabama, who's a predictor of all predictors. And he's the man with that slogan and saying how he want to call it. Ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. And he's joining us now. Coach Tremaine Edwards, our king, Tremaine. How you doing, sir?
Hey, glad to be here. It's in my blood. I cannot lie. I'm a bad bulldog to the day I die. Let's go, bulldog.
You got it, brother. You got it. You got it.
You know, I gotta give you your kudos, brother. I took a gamble and went with Tony Stallworth. I lost major fooling with Tony Stallworth. And I told Tony, I said, Tony, you better be right about this. And I stepped out with him, and Tony, he won't even get on the call tonight. He ain't doing that. He don't even want to talk about it. I already know he don't even want to talk to you. He knows that I am going to tell him that he lost his shining crown tonight. And someone in Huntsville by name of Tremaine Edwards, the king, is officially king of all media. And I just want to say
yes,
Hey, I appreciate that. I appreciate the kudos for that. I appreciate it.
Well, it's awesome, Trey. That's awesome, Trey. You know, we was just talking about the Magic City Classic. You know, I know you want to jump in and share your thoughts. And as I told him, though, we sit there together, you know, I don't know what it was because I expect more out of that game. And I didn't mention this part of the pageantry. I thought that first quarter, maybe I need to check and see if the SWAC got a rule now where the band can't play in the first quarter, because the band did not play in the first quarter for some reason, because, you know, A&L was told not to play when they started playing. But they did play in the second quarter. Come on, Trey, you can share some thoughts about what you saw and exactly, you know, I'm sorry, King. We want to make sure the King get his right royalty here. You have the floor now, King. Come with it.
All right, I'm going to say this. I was very, very excited about the outcome of the game Saturday. I said that without Dr. Smith said. I think they weren't playing because of the all the checks that was coming through Dr. Smith. The announcer was making a lot of announcements about, you know, people donate money to both schools, donate scholarships and a lot of stuff like that. So I think they told the fans to hold off of that. But other than that, Dr. Smith Shoe, it was not an exciting game, like Dr. Smith said. We talked more about other things, childhood memories, and stuff like that the whole night, whole time we were there. That them first two quarters, second half kind of sparked up, and it got going.
Yeah.
But we got to, hey, I'm gonna tell y'all this now. Them were freshmen that was making them plays for A&M, man. Number 3, 6 freshmen. Them freshmen on that field, man.
But Trey, I want to ask you a question if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
When Alabama State got into the red zone many times, A&M was always able to foil them. Is that because that A&M's either stiffened up or Alabama State just couldn't come up with the right play to get it to the goal line?
Mental mistake there. A lot of mental mistakes. Alabama State should have been right there in that game. I really think Alabama State should have won the game. Alabama State flipped the tables one time, man. They got down there the first time, missed the field goal. Got down there a second time, quarterback went in, fumbled. Got down there a third time, the boy missed a wide open pass. That was a touchdown. So that's 3 touchdowns took off the board. Well, 17 points took off the board. So you add that 17 plus that 10, what's the score?
Yep, 27.
What you got, Dr. Smith? And what that means, we going to overtime. But other than that, man, they just didn't execute, man. Alabama State had just as much of a chance to win that game as A&M. A&M ain't do nothing to win. They just kept it close and played through, man. It wasn't nothing they did to make that game just, you know what I'm saying, like they were unstoppable. But A&M would pull through with that. And the key with us, we threw a couple down the field, but we did a screen game that whole game.
Sure did. How coach them, Trey. Bottom line.
Yeah. Now, Dr. Smith, it was a couple plays now that Maynard outcoached himself. Like when they did that on that 4th and 1 when we did the swinging gate.
Yep.
Like what are we doing that for, man? Just line up and run the ball at them, and they stop them.
Exactly.
But other than that, I was excited about the outcome, man. We came, executed, we ran the ball, we threw passes, I can't accept no more. Now we got Pine Bluff this week. We liable to go down to them because of the up from the Magic City Clash. So we'll see how they go this weekend.
And Trey, let me ask
you.
Go ahead, Darryl. I'll ask my question after you ask yours. I'll share your thoughts.
No, no, it was just, I was just going to say this real quickly and let you move on. It just seemed like you guys were better prepared for this game to me than Alabama State University. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
And they are. That's exactly where I was going. I thought that really, really, Trey, I want to get your feel on this, that Jenkins knew those his coaches, which was everybody on Alabama State staff except Travis Pearson and one other folks, he knew them better than they knew themselves. What do you think about that?
I agree totally, man. That was the X factor in the game. I told people that Coach Jenkins was going to be the X factor in that game, man. And people, you know, when I told them Coach Jenkins, and the key, a lot of people didn't even know Jenkins was at A&M. They didn't.
Wow.
Until they seen that I bet you can't on video. And they saw Coach Jenkins with that. But like I said, we executed. We did what we were supposed to do, man, and see what they came through. And like you said, Daryl, as far as the coaching, man, you can see that Coach Maynard is holding them kids at a higher standard. Like, if they ain't doing what they supposed to do, Maynard, he's out there on the field. Like, he's out there. He called a timeout one time. I know he ran all the way across.
Yep, got up in that mustache. Sure did. I saw that. So, but it's such a different time now, Trey, and with our coaching our young people, even with our situations. And it was not on the agenda to discuss, but I just shared just what you brought to the point about coaches having a toxic, you know, a toxic culture, and sometimes people would call that toxic. Why is he going out there all up in the folks' play with the player's face and all that? And sometimes we have to have that. We have to have where the coach demand excellence out of them and hold them accountable. Now, his way of holding them accountable may be a little different. You know, every time something happened, we saw Jimbo Fisher in one game got up and wanted to play, and everybody complained about that. And it had nothing to do with the Maryland situation, but I'm just saying that's what they consider to be toxic. So the point is, you know, toxic could be where you continue to do things that are not right, is not good for the sake of the children. But sometimes with our young people, if you get up in their face, that's toxic too. Some people consider that because they see it in a different way. And, you know, we can talk about that. And you know, we got other things on the agenda we want to talk about. If you just want to share some thoughts about that, Trey, in regards to, because I know you're coaching a lot of young people right now. And is it you're able to do like Coach Maynard did, go out there on the field, call a timeout, go halfway on the field and call them, like something Coach Smith used to do a long time ago. Coach Smith still did it when he was coaching.
Yes, sir.
It was all right.
Yes, sir.
It was all right 20 years ago. But now it's, you know, it's a whole different ball game now. You can't do that because you got parents sitting up there hollering about, well, who are you talking? You talking about, son? You know, come on now. But just share your thoughts on that, you know. And you, since you mentioned about Coach Maynard, where he's holding them for a different, he's holding them accountable. That's what we're going to call this. But, you know, we also can say
he's
too far. Go ahead on, Trent.
I'm going to say this. I just went through that. We had a game on Monday night, and the referee looked at me and said, Coach, y'all just keep hollering at the kid. I said, and this is what I told him, Dr. Smith. I said, these are our kids. We know what makes them work. We're 7-1. We lost one game in the beginning of the season. We know what makes them work. So don't talk about me if I'm not dog cussing them, but I'm talking to them. Don't tell me how to coach my kids. I just need you to referee the game. And I got into it with a referee about that. I told him quit because I told him this is the same kid that's 2 days ago cussing the teacher out that's in the classroom that he's in. And you're fussing at me by the way I'm talking to him. This that same kid, though. So you have to find out what makes your kids respond to you. Now, like you said, Dr. Smith, some of it is toxic. Some of it goes sideways. And a lot of kids are temperamental, and a lot of kids are prima donnas. Prima donnas is a kid that thinks about itself. And everything someone else does, they're thinking that they could have did it better. or they can't do it better than them. But with a lot of them kids, man, it's like you said, that toxic culture.
Yes.
It goes both ways.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, Trey. Exactly. I kind of lost y'all there for a second, but we're back with you. I heard you through the process, but we're back on track now. But, see, like I said, it goes both ways. And a lot of times we demand excellence, and sometimes the way we demand that excellence, some people don't think that's the way we should do it. But you have to know your students. You have to know the children you're working with. You have to know the young adults you're working with. You have to even know the adults you're working with. You see what I'm saying? As professionals. So you got a situation, you have to know exactly what's going on with them. So you have to make sure you do what you have to do to make sure everybody follow through and do what they need to do. And the way you approach, if you get their attention, it gets their attention. So I think Maynard will be excellent for Alabama A&M. He's going to provide a whole different ball game over there, and he's going to be successful in the SWAC as well as against Alabama State until we make some kind of adjustment. So I look forward. I'm excited that there's going to be a real competitive rival between Alabama State like it's always been, and it continue to be with that. So that's what it takes, and maybe Coach Ely will take a little bit out of that. You know, with his, he walk around with his fedoras on and all smooth and cool, you know. Sometimes you have to just take them fedoras off and take them boots off and get put your feet in the mud and just have to be what everybody actually do and be as tough as you can be. So we look forward to that, to seeing an exciting classic from this point on. Also, Trey, I shared, I don't know what you heard, in regards to the SWAC deciding today to take the championship game to the team that's in the championship with the best record. What do you think about that?
That's trash, Dr. Smith. That's a disadvantage of the game all way that it is. I think they should meet at a neutral spot and be through with it. But them taking it to the home field is trash. You killing the crowd and everything. You still killing the crowd with that.
Exactly. You know, when we had it in Birmingham, everybody was not happy in the SWAT with that. But when they moved it to Texas, no one was happy. Then we saw that picture and we saw something developing where it's going to come back to Birmingham. And one of the reasons they're moving is because UAB looked like they're going to win their conference. And they got in the Sun Belt that the winner of the conference in regular season hosts the championship game. So it looked like UAB will get the option to be able to host the game. And the thought was, well, we're going to compensate you by allowing you to do that. So, you know, I would have been already there to move it on to Montgomery, move it to Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? But going to Alcorn or even going to Southern, you know, you might have gone down to Houston. What do you think about that?
And I have to agree with Trey on that, because Trey is right. You're putting somebody at a disadvantage by going to one of the schools. And if you put it on neutral ground, everybody has an equal chance to root for their schools, to come and support their schools. You should make it easier for one team because, you know, whomever wins their conference in that regard. They should go on down to Houston or go somewhere nearby, you know, even if they don't come to Birmingham, if they don't come to Atlanta, if they don't come to Montgomery, somewhere in Texas away from all the schools. And I hope that they rethink that in the end, because it's going to be a disadvantage. Somebody's not going to be happy about it. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Yep, for sure. Well, you know, we'll see how things do, and this is Talking Sports Plus, so we're going to keep our eye on it. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1 if you want to share your thoughts on this conversation, and I'll identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I ask you to join the conversation by introducing who you are and your location. All right, we're going to look at some high schools and kind of see what's going on with those high schools, because we're now in time for the playoff. What about those teams you have in that North Alabama division? And I have all the teams here, but you may have some thoughts about some particular teams that made the playoff, that will be in the playoff, regardless if they're the fourth seed or what third seed or whatever. Tell us a little something about North Alabama.
Gotcha, Dr. Smith. We got Madison Academy. They're like 7-1 in 5A. You know, people, clock them out as far as just because they made a jump from 3A to 5A due to the new private school rule. But they're rolling, so they're doing pretty good in 5A. And we also have James Clement, like I said, that team that got beat to sleep by Thompson in the beginning of the year. Is back in the mix, Dr. Smith, and they looking for that area again, because that's who they cross with, the Birmingham area. So they'll probably run into a Hewitt Trustville or Hoover the first round of the playoff.
That's who they're going to run into, Hewitt Trustville, because Hewitt Trustville finished fourth in Region 3, and Johnny Clinton finished first. Hoover finished first. Yeah. They finished first. They playing Bob Jones. And then you have Austin finished second playing Mountain Brook. Thompson finished second in that Region 3 and playing Florence out of Region 4.
Right.
So that's how I look up in the country.
Right.
Right.
I'm ready to hear that. I'm ready to hear that South bracket. Go on, get that South to me, Dr. Smith.
Okay. Well, May Jimmins, they finished third in their division, so they're going to go to Clay Chalkville.
Dr. Smith, I need you to look at those records. Look at those records and explain those records to everyone online, and tell me what you think about those records. What is May Jimmins' record? Tell me what their record is, Dr. Smith.
I'm trying to see, is it 2-9?
Probably 3-8.
No, he ain't playing with 10 games. Because this is the final week of. But yeah, that record is great. But they finished third. They finished third in the region compared to actually, who is that in 8? I'm trying to say. Abbeville. I didn't even finish fourth.
Abbeville.
They finished Abbeville. So
with a worse record than what they had.
Yeah, and so their records are not too good, but they won one too many games and two games more than the other team, or one game more than the other team. This was Abbeville. So in the playoffs. All right, we want to look at 7A, Trey. We'll kind of share some teams in the South. You got Lee Montgomery, fought their way in, and they made it in. They'll be going down to Theodore. So they're the fourth-ranked team in Region 2. Be taking on Theodore, the number one team down in Region 1. You also have Auburn, which is the second-ranked team in Region 2, will be taking on either Fairhope or McGill-Tulane. Then you have Davidson, who's the fourth-ranked team in Region 1, taking on Central Phoenix City, who's ranked number one, and number one in the state, number one in the power ranking, and they're ranked number one in that region. And then you got Prattville, who's ranked number three in Region 2, taking on Fairhope, McGill-Tulane winner. So that means whoever wins falls in the bracket at 3, or the other one falls in the 2. So that's Class 7A. Then you have Bob Jones taking on Hoover, number one. And we just mentioned those other schools that are going to be playing. Florence will be taking on Thompson after that outstanding game that Thompson had last week with Hewitt Trustville. They have two of the Alabama commits in Paul Tyson, and you have Tula Tagovailoa. You have him for Thompson, and the game ended up 56-49. That was an outstanding game. It was televised nationally. Now let's move down to our 6A. And in our 6A, you have Carver Montgomery, who finished third in the region. Region 2, be going to McAdoo, who finished second. And then you have Blount or Daphne in Region 1, who will finish fourth will be going to Wetumpka, which finished 1 in Region 3. You have Hillcrest, who finished 3rd in Region 4, taking on Sidney Lanier, who finished 2nd in Region 2. Benjamin Russell, who finished 4th in Region 3, will be taking on number 1 in Region 1, Saraland, or Spanish Fort. So that means they have to play this weekend and kind of decide how those games, how those teams will end up. And also you have Eufaula, who finished 4th in Region 2, taking on Hueytown. Stanhope is in the playoff. They finished 3rd in Region 3. They'll be taking on the winner of Saraland and Spanish Fort. Bessemer City, the 4th seed, will be taking on Park Crossan, who's the number 1 seed in the region. They won the region at a 5-1 mark. And then you have St. Paul Episcopal, who finished 3rd in Region 1, will take on Opelika, who finished 2nd. Those are the well-known teams in the 6A, the 7A, 5A. Charles Henderson taking on Ramsey. Charles Henderson finished 4th and taking on number 1 Ramsey in Region 4. You have Parker, Winona, and Fairfield. Whoever wins out of those three would take it on Greenville. And Greenville's rolling. They're really rolling. So you're going to see an outstanding situation with them coming up here very soon. And in our 4A class, you have Alabama Christian, who finished 4th in their region, Region 2. In 4A, will be taking on Lincoln, who the number 1 seed in the Region 4. You have Hillcrest. Remember, Hillcrest moved up from 3A to 4. They won a championship last year. It's the number 2 seed in the Region 1, and they'll be taking on Sipsey Valley, who's the number 3 seed. Then we'll move on down. Oh, we also want to mention Hopeville, who's number 3 in Region 4, will be taking on Montgomery Catholic, who's number 2. And Trinity Presbyterian is the number 3 seed in Region 2, taking on Hanley, which is number 2. And up in the 3A, you have T.R. Miller be taking on number 1 St. James in Region 3. T.R. Miller's number 4 in Region 1, Pipe Road. And no, everybody know about Pipe Road. Pipe Road, first year playing football where it's not junior varsity football. They're the fourth seed in Region 3, taking on number 1 Mobile Christian. And then in 3A, you also have Montgomery Academy, number 3 seed, taking on Flemington, which is number 2 seed in the Region 1. And then you have Pike County, who's the number 1 seed in Region 2, taking on Oakman, who's the number 4 seed in Region 4. And you move further down in your younger classes, not in your smaller class, in your 2A, you have Chickasaw will be taking on number 1 Region 3, Highland Home. You know, Highland Home is that team that's leading the state in scoring. And they're scoring pretty high. They're scoring up in the 30s and 40s and 50s per game. You also have Daleville, which is number 4 seed in Region 2, be taking on Real Town. You heard of Real Town because that's Jackie O'Neill. And they'll be the number 1 seed in Region 4. New Brockton or Goshen going to take on Leroy. He's the number 2 seed in Region 1. South Choctaw, number 3 seed in the Region 1, taking on Luverne. And then in your 1A, you have Bradley, the number 3 seed, taking on Watley, the number 2 seed. And then you have Millery taking on, which is number 4 seed, taking on Linden. You know, they're struggling. That's 1A. They're struggling to see who's going to be number 1. And the number 1 team that was 2A last year, now 1A, and they're the number 1 team in the 1A class, is number 1 region for Lynette, taking on Florella. Then you also have Georgiana, who was is number 1 in Region 2, taking on Notosugra, which is the Region 4, number 14. So that's your playoff. That's how I look dealing with football coming up. So we didn't mention every team, but we mentioned those teams that's pretty much making things happen in this area, in this region, in central all the way down to the south from there to North Alabama. Any thoughts on that, Trey? Any thoughts there in regards to those teams making and any kind of prediction we want to make, even though it won't start on the 9th, anything, any team you see going to be kind of dominating?
I just can't never count out Hoover. and I'm going to leave Hoover, Pinson Valley. I'm going to leave. My feeder travels to Pinson Valley this weekend, so I'll be able to tell y'all some about them after this weekend. And Hoover, Pinson Valley, Wetumpka. Wetumpka is a sleeper team. A lot of people not respecting Wetumpka this year, thinking they have lost a lot. I think Wetumpka will be back by the spring. I really do.
I don't have a team to root for. I just don't have it. Y'all have taken everything away from me in my neck of the woods. Everything from my neck of the woods is gone.
Come on, Dad. We can go with Greenville, Georgiana. They making things happen.
You know, they were our arch rivals for years. So I guess I'll roll with that. And you know, but God. Nothing on my end is doing good, man. Nothing. And it's like, wow. You get past Butler County, you're done.
It's a wrap.
Back to you, Dr. Drew. I'm sorry. Tremaine, you weren't done. I apologize.
Oh, you good, Darryl. That's all I had to say. I'm going with them three teams right now.
Okay. Well, even though I didn't mention, but they have number two seat in Region 2. They're taking on Billingsley. Number three, so that's going to be an awesome game right there. Brantley is in there as well. They, you know, I think they'll be able to play fortunate enough against Watley. And then if we're going to look at that, I really want to see how it's going to happen up here in this central part up here where you have these three teams from the same region. And I mean, from the same city, meaning Park Crossing, Lanier, and what's another school? Carver. I didn't forget Carver, but I was just thinking about Lee. But those schools. Now, if we'll have two games in Montgomery. We're going to have Park Crossing hosting and Lanier hosting. Carver going the road. Now, if they win, you have a good chance to get two rounds of it. So we'll keep an eye on that to see what's going on. There's no question about Central Phoenix City. They're rolling, Auburn rolling. So we'll kind of see how they're going to do. And we talk, as Trey says, Stanhope, Elmore is in there. So there's several teams that are making some things happen. All right, let's kind of move it. Tonight we kind of focus on historical black colleges and high schools. There are some other things we wanted to talk about, and I want to go to the college football playoff ranking right quick. But let me say something about volleyball. There's a the annual state volleyball championship for the Alabama High School Athletic Association, the 48. It's up at the Birmingham Cross Flag. Matter of fact, when our co-host went up there for Brantley and going up there, which is part of one of his little part-time jobs, you have a couple of teams that were successful in the first round. You have Pleasant Home, which is from the South. They won today. They'll be playing they played later on that afternoon because they played earlier that morning. You also have Pleasant Home for the play tonight. They're playing now. They're playing Lindsay Lane Christian. It's 7:30, and then you have Brantley. They play a little later, like 3 o'clock, and they're through now. Then you had also in Class 2A, you had Goshen played. They lost, so they're out of it. You had GW Long, which is down in South Alabama. They're in the semifinals against Addison in the 2A. Montgomery Academy, they won, and they're in the semifinals. They was in the Spins Finals against Lexington. And then you also had Blue Tech. They was playing in it. So Blue Tech lost in the semifinals, so they're out. You also have Alabama Christian. They supposed to have played Providence Christian today at 5:30. And the results are not quite in yet. St. James, they played East Limestone beat them, and they'll be playing ARAP, and they played them at 3 o'clock, and Blue Tech lost Jasper. So it's St. James and Jasper playing for the championship tomorrow. And then the 6A, we don't have a few teams, and that's Spanish Forest. They're playing as well. They make it to the semifinals against Pelham, and you have Hazel Green against St. Paul Episcopal. And then in the 7A, you have semifinal McGill-Tulane Catholic against Mountain Brook, as well as Hoover played against Bob Jones. So the championship game is tomorrow at 9:45 for 7A, 1:15 for 6A, 11:30 for 5A, 4:45 on Thursday for 4A, and then your 3A play at 3 p.m. tomorrow. And these are your championships for your different class. 2A play at 8 a.m., and then your 1A play at 6:30 on Thursday. So that's what we have going on in high school volleyball, and it's good to mention volleyball because sometimes we forget. Trey, the last thing and there we want to kind of talk about is the college football playoff ranking. Did they get it right? Is it looking good? How is it going to
be?
Yes, sir. Thoughts on
it. This is the best I've seen it looking, Dr. Smith. They got it right this time.
All right, so we're looking real good on that end.
We're looking really good. And I just want to say this, and make it real short. Georgia should have lost that game to Florida. Florida made entirely too many mistakes. That's all I want to say.
Yeah. And that's something. Georgia's ranked number 6 behind Michigan. Michigan is 5. Just to call it out, number 1 is University of Alabama. Number 2 is Clemson. Number 3 is LSU, which that's going to be solved this weekend. One of them will know, well, depend on who loses. But if LSU lose, they're out of it. And number 4 was Notre Dame. Number 5 was Michigan. Number 6 was Georgia. Number 7 I got lost in someone when I got to 6. But when you got to 6, because I know the 4 that matter. But if one of those teams lose down in the top 4, Georgia, either I think Washington State, they have an opportunity to vault into this situation, as well as Kentucky and several other teams. So it's going to be a big weekend because you got Kentucky against Georgia. They'll be playing in Kentucky. You have Michigan playing Penn State. You have Alabama playing LSU. West Virginia, they got a big ball game coming up this weekend. They're going to be playing Texas. And you got Temple going to be playing UCF on Thursday night. So everybody watch that. They're ranked number 12 in the college football playoff ranking. Texas A&M got Auburn on Saturday at 11 o'clock. Georgia and Kentucky at 2:30 on ESPN. Then you have Notre Dame and Northwestern. Those are some notable games. But that's basically what's going on. Any other thoughts, my team, my group? There are some other topics we want to talk about, but we're at that hour time that we're going to kind of shut it down. Any other topics we want to talk about? Do you have any thoughts about?
No, sir, Dr. Smith. You hit everything on the head with that last little spiel you hit.
All right, that's a wrap then. Well, I tell you what, you know, we had the time when we called it this. We tried to hit that all the time. We had a wonderful show. I always think it's because we have a good time here. We enjoy ourselves. We laugh, and we really appreciate having an opportunity to come before each and every one of y'all because we're excited about bringing Talking Sports to you. We have other shows that goes on, but before I bring my spiel about what's going on in the future, I want both our co-hosts to kind of share their thoughts, say their goodbyes, and we'll wrap it up, and then we'll get ready for our next week's show. And our goal is to have the athletic director of Alabama State University, Jennifer Lynn Williams, here as our guest. We're going to interview her next week. So we want to be ready for her. Those questions we have about what's going on, we can ask her about that. Trey.
Dr. Smith, glad to be here tonight. Elaborate a little on my middle school team, man. We won our last game, finished the season 7-1, but we didn't have a championship game this year. Our AD had us on a straight schedule, so we needed a win by Huntsville Middle on last night. They didn't give it to us, so we lost the head-to-head to Williams, even though they lost the game to a team that we beat. So, you know, I'm pissed about that one. So, we were reluctant to get the runner-up trophy in the city, but we still here, baby. We open and fight, man. Now it's time to roll them balls out, and we got to repeat in basketball. We got to repeat in some, man. But that's all I got for y'all, man. Hey, go Bulldogs.
All right. All right, Darius.
All hail the king. I will never, ever, ever bet against Trey again in life. I hope everybody have a good night. And remember, LSU is probably going to beat Alabama. Y'all have a good night.
Awesome, awesome. You know, like I said, we always enjoy being here. We get some laughs in. We appreciate you joining us, each and every one of you, the co-hosts. They join us, and they're excited. I appreciate them being a part of the team. You know, we're at the end of the show. And every time we get to the end of the show, we try to give you some information that helps you move forward to the next day. There's a couple things I do want to share with at least one thing. One of my former players, I have a relative that the Miss ASU for 2018, that's Ariana Thompson. He asked me to give her a shout out. Captain Peterson asked me to shout that out to you, Ariana. It's Ariana Thompson. She is Miss ASU for 2018. So we wanted to shout that out on this show. All right, we have several other shows going, talking with you on Monday. The co-host is Lauren B. Smith, along the father and daughter blog talk radio team in the country. And we're going to come to you on Monday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. And my two special guest expert is Dr. Olivia E. Smith out of Georgia. And also we have Ms. Scarlett H. Black out of South Carolina. They'll be with us on Monday night. We're going to be discussing some hot topics, just plain old life issues. Then again, we'll come back with you on Wednesday night. Before I move forward to talking about next Wednesday, I don't want to forget about on Friday, which is Balling with the Doc at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time. Join us. We'll be on Blog Talk Radio, Instagram, Facebook, Anchors Podcast. Also, to remind you all that, as I told earlier in the beginning of the show, if I haven't said it, we're changing our production. We're moving to the Smith Way Production, and that'll be the production company that'll be sponsoring all these shows. So just keep an eye, just look at our Blog Talk Radio. You can see the Smith Production, and as you can actually see it. We try to get a beautiful picture of it. And then we also want you to know that, you know, we're excited about having the opportunity to be here. We got two other shows that we're developing, and we're going to come out, and we're going to make it. But on Saturday, if you're in Central Alabama in Montgomery, there's Connection Day 2018 at Alabama State University, and the game starts at 2 o'clock, so we will be tailgating, and we'll be out there, and you'll see Blog Talk Radio, you're talking Sports Plus, and you can come by the table and join us and share some thoughts. But we really enjoyed having an awesome time tonight. Thank each and every one of the listeners for taking time. You know, I tell you, hashtag keep on grinding. And on top of that, I always say hashtag communicate for understanding. And last but not least, hashtag
See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best. As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner.
You ain't seen your best day yet.
You ain't seen your best day yet.
You ain't seen your best day yet.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen no
best. You ain't seen your best day. My brother,
what you know, what you deposit this word in.
Thank you.